This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Just after 10:30 on your Sunday evening. Miles Blumsom here filling in for Matt Beadle on Love Sport Radio this evening, doing all of the fan shows. It's time to talk a little bit about Sunderland for the next half an hour before I finish and we play you through some of the best bits of Love Sport Radio through the rest of the night. Sunderland yesterday, not great. Portsmouth 2, Sunderland 0. Really, really, really massive game in League One in the race for the playoff places, in the race for promotion up to the Championship. Sunderland fans, get in touch with me. 0208 7020 558. That's our number here at Love Sport Radio. I want to hear from you. What's the problem? What's going wrong? Why can't you seem to be able to get out of League One? Last season, of course, losing the playoff final to Charlton Athletic. Very, very unlucky. This season, just slipping out of the playoff places now as Portsmouth take that final spot, that sixth spot in League One. 0208 70 20 558 is our number. Give us a call or you can send me a message on WhatsApp. You can also tweet me at Love Sport Radio. I want to know the problem. Goals from Burgess and Bolton yesterday consigned Sunderland to a loss in League One. And what it does is it ends a good run of form. The last five games, win, win, draw, win, and now loss. But this was the important one. Portsmouth on an absolutely superb run at the moment, which has taken them into sixth spot. It's taken them into the last playoff place in League One. Sunderland now down into seventh. And all of a sudden, the promotion hopes have taken a little bit of a dent. It's really unfortunate. Sunderland fans, please do get in touch. 0208 70 20 558. Let me know what needs to change. Niall Bromley from the Roker Report joins me now. Niall, how are you feeling today after yesterday's game?
Hello, Miles. How are you doing? You all right?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
All things considered.
Yeah, obviously it's a massive disappointment. We went there. I thought any Sunderland fan probably would have accepted a point before kick-off. But no one knew it was going to be a tough game. They're really informed, as are we. But when it's in, you know, their own stadium and, you know, they create a hell of an atmosphere there at Fratton Park. And we knew it was going to be tough. They were, you know, incredibly well organised and they were hard to break down. We had a fantastic chance. Luke O'Neill cut in and hit the post, which was unlucky. And that was probably our biggest chance. It didn't go in. It kind of, I don't know if you've seen it, but kind of hit the post and ran from the inside of the goal. And it was one of them where, you know, nine times out of ten they go in, it didn't. And then from then, you know, Portsmouth took the game to us and they scored two set pieces, which is you know, it's disappointing because I think we're getting much better. When it comes to set pieces, the defending's been really well, but it's a shame. But we, you know, every Sunderland fan I've spoken to since isn't too down by it. You know, we all know we played a good team, and they were better on the day, but we still think that there's a good chance that we can go up. So it is disappointing, but we feel like we can't bounce back. But we've got another massive game this weekend and we just need to focus, pick ourselves up and look forward to Ipswich on Saturday.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned you would have taken a point. A point would have kept you in those playoff places. You said you're still positive about Sunderland getting promoted at the end of the season, getting up back into the Championship. Does not being in the playoff places, does it fill you with any doubt?
No, No, not at all. Not at all. It's so tight in League One. It's ridiculously tight. I mean, there can't have been too many seasons in the Football League. No, I mean, just League One, which has been this tight. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I think it's something like 10 or 11 points separates top to about 10th in the league. It's ridiculous. So anybody can go up. We've got, 19 games or something like that left. There's so much time. I'm not, right now, it's pointless to try and call what's going to happen, because I think there's so many twists, so many turns to come from now to the end of the season. And I think, I think we had a very, very good transfer window. I think our January was a lot better than what people thought it was going to be. I think we had a few positions that we needed backup in, and we needed players in, and we filled all them. We've got a left back, we've got Declan John in from Swansea. We needed somebody in that role. We needed another forward player. We've got Semenyo from Bristol City. We needed something stronger in midfield, and we've got Josh Scowen, and we needed something stronger at the back, which was Bailey Wright, from Bristol City. So we've strengthened, and we've got a lot more depth in the team. And I think if you look around, no disrespect to the likes of Oxford or Peter Brown, teams like that, they've got very good teams, but they've only really got good 11s. Whereas I think we're a little bit different, because I think we've got more coming off the bench than what these other teams do. But obviously, you don't know what's going to happen from now till then. But I think that will have a big factor as to where we all end up at the end.
You just mentioned transfers. Were you sad to see Aidan McGeady go?
No.
No. In a word, no, why not?
I think Aidan McGeady needed to leave the football club. It was as simple as that. An incredible talent, a brilliant football player. Everybody can see what he's got. Everybody can see, what he can do on a football pitch. And, he's fantastic, especially at League One level. And I think that was probably the issue. I think McGeady needed to play at a higher level. I think it was just a little bit of, he was possibly that level above. Now that he's gone, since he hasn't been in the squad, the players are playing with a lot more freedom. I mean, unbelievable amounts of, it used to be, we'll do this, but then we'll look for McGeady, and it was always that kind of thing. Whereas now, players are doing their own thing, and we're creating a lot more chances, we're going forward a lot more. I think every single Sunderland fan is, well, everyone that I've spoken to, and everything I've seen on social media, everybody, and I don't know this off first time, but looking at the players, I think everybody's relieved that Aidan McGeady's gone.
Yeah, well, how much influence do you think he had in the dressing room? Do you think it was a negative influence, being someone who maybe thought he was bigger than playing in League One?
Possibly, yeah. Probably was that case. In any line of work, if somebody thinks they're better than everybody else, that nobody likes that person, and it probably was the case, but I mean, don't get us wrong, Aidan McGeady, like I just said, a fantastic player, but I think it gets to a point where everybody needs to be on the same level playing field, and I think we've got that now. We do have that now, and I don't know, like I say, everything's guesswork for me. I don't know anything off first hand, but what I do think in my head is that he wasn't a good fit for the dressing room, because he was maybe that little extra level above, and maybe just upset people with that. So the players are playing with a lot more relief since he's gone, and the players are a lot more free, like I said before, and I think it is a load off everybody's mind, basically, that he's not there anymore. And good luck with Charlton. I think he'll do excellent there. I think he will do well, and I think he'll excite the fans, because that's what he does. And that's his level, certainly, at least Championship for Aidan McGeady, ability-wise, definitely Championship. So I think he'll flourish there, and I think it's a good move for all parties, to be honest with you.
Back to the game, yes, against Portsmouth at Fratton Park. 10 years ago, that was a Premier League fixture, Portsmouth, Sunderland at Fran Park. Don't mean to depress you by saying that, Niall, but what's it like in terms of two teams like Portsmouth and Sunderland have had so many struggles in the last few years, over the last five years for Sunderland, 10 years for Portsmouth. What was the feeling amongst fans? Was it a bit weird that such big clubs are down in a League One fixture?
No, I wouldn't say it's weird. I think it causes a bit of a rivalry when you've got big clubs in that division, I think, because both clubs seem to think, oh, we're the biggest club in this division. And, you know, your club's like, no, we're the biggest club. And that's the kind of thing that happens through it. But, it, you know, you look at the flip side. I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago that Bournemouth against Brighton Hove Albion would be a Premier League fixture?
You know
what I mean? That's how fast that football can flip and football can turn. And in Portsmouth, you know, we do have a bit of a rival with them, but we all know that they're a big club. I mean, they won the FA Cup in 2008. You know, they were in Europe the year after. And you know what I mean? That they do belong higher than League One, and we belong higher than League One as well. So I think when we do play each other, it's a spectacle for League One. It's an advertisement for the likes of League One. I mean, you know, if you're looking from around the world thinking, oh my God, something against Portsmouth is a League One tie. I mean, we played Portsmouth in the Czech Trade Trophy final last season. I mean, anybody looking at that, thinking, oh, something against Portsmouth in a cup final, that must be the League Cup or the FA Cup. You know what I mean? But it's not, you know, it is a huge fixture for this level. And like I say, that just shows how much things can turn. And yeah, it's Fratton Park yesterday. It did feel like it was, this was a bigger level than what it was. And you know, but the reality is it isn't. But I think, you know, it will be eventually because, like I say, that the two clubs I'd like to think are on the up. I don't think Portsmouth will be in League One for too much longer. If they don't go up this year, they'll surely go up within the next couple. And I think the same with Sunderland. So it's not long term. It's not long term. And then in a couple of years, you'll probably have a few other teams who are now in the Championship, maybe even in the Premiership, but probably in the Championship, who will be at this level and fighting the same. And that'll happen, you know, for the next sort of 10 years or so.
Are they both teams that can bounce up twice as well? Because we've seen it before with teams that have gone all the way down to League One, Southampton being one of them, Sheffield United now. Occasionally it happens where a team just does bounce through the Championship. But Portsmouth and Sunderland, with the stature of those clubs, are they the types of clubs that you think can do that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Norwich did it as well. They got back-to-back promotions into the Premier League a few years ago, so it can happen. I mean, I think with any club, once you get the momentum, I mean, it doesn't just happen League One to Premier League. I mean, look at Tranmere, they've had back-to-back promotions. Luton, they had back-to-back promotions. I know they're struggling a bit now, but still, you know, they went from League Two to League One to the Championship. And I think it's just getting that winning mentality into a football club. It's just huge, and I don't think it matters what level you're at. You can go anywhere from, you know, the Conference North, Conference South, all the way up to the Premier League, and you have that momentum, you have that winning mentality. I mean, look at Sheffield United. Sheffield United's squad, you look on paper, you'd think, well, it's a Championship team, if you look at it on paper, but, you know, they're sitting, what, sixth or whatever they are in the Premier League. I mean, it's phenomenal. And it just shows what team spirit can do. Everyone said that about Leicester a few years ago. You know, they won the league. And if you looked at them on paper, people thought Man City got a better team. Liverpool have got a better team. Chelsea. But they went and did it. It's all, if you've got a bit of quality in there, but you have the team spirit, you have the togetherness, and you're organised, and you've got the will to win, I believe you can, you know, double promotion can happen because the momentum just sticks with you. It just sticks. You know, obviously you get to a certain level once you get promoted from the Championship to the Premier League. It's rare that you can go on to win the Premier League because the quality is a lot different when it comes to the Premier League. The top six are basically in a league of their own, aren't they? But I certainly think momentum in football is huge, massive. We've seen that over the years.
Yeah, well, you would know better than quite a few in terms of momentum, because unfortunately with Sunderland it was the other type of momentum, but yeah. that is something that's led to the double relegation that Sunderland went through. Momentum, team spirit, the way the organisation within the club, these are all big factors, and if you get it right, it can just click.
Yeah, and like you said, if you get it wrong, it can disintegrate and go the other way. And that's the thing. I mean, that's why we all love football, because, I mean, look at Sheffield United, like you said, a few seasons ago. I think they had six seasons in League One, Sheffield United, and I think the lowest finish, they were 13th. You know, Sheffield Wednesday always had the bragging rights on them. They won the championship, and they were fighting for promotion, or at least mid-table in the championship, and they had good managers coming in, they had good players coming through. And, you know, they probably looked at Sheffield United and thought, well, you're a little bit irrelevant now. Just like, you know, our rivals, Newcastle, probably look at it. Well, they do look at us like that now. But it just shows one season can change everything, you know. Like, if it just completely changes. I mean, to think where Sheffield United are now, it is phenomenal. And that kind of gives fans like us, and like Portsmouth, and Ipswich, and Rotherham, and the kind of bigger teams in League One, that gives us hope that, you know, if we do pull a string of results together and we do manage to get ourselves in the championship, we can push on and we can grow and we can move forward. Because I think the championship in League One is a big, I think that's probably in my mind, that's the biggest step in football. I don't think there's a bigger leap than championship in League One. But if you like you say, if you have this minimum win mentality and you keep on going and you can take that into the championship, like, you know, Charlton have done really well this season, and they're not having a bad league position. If you can do that, maybe survive in your first season, I think that, you know, you can level yourself and then get yourself up the Premier League, and, you know, it all changes. So, like, you know, life can just change over 2 or 3 years, which has happened to us, but the opposite way, unfortunately.
It's really nice to hear positive talk coming out of Sunderland fans' mouths. It really is for me. Could they do the double bounce? 0208 70 20 558. Sunderland fans, do you think that Sunderland can go and roll through the Championship and get straight back to where it's perceived they belong? And if Newcastle, it doesn't look like it, went down this year, all of a sudden Sunderland are the team on top again. Up next, we'll start to look towards to the game at the weekend, Saturday at 3 o'clock, Sunderland hosting Ipswich Town at the Stadium of Light. Niall Bromley from the Roker Report joining me on the Sunderland Fan Show.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Yes, it is. It's the Sunderland Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Just coming up towards 10 to 11 on your Sunday evening. Miles Blumsom here, filling in for Matt Beadle this week. Niall Bromley joining me from the Roker Report to talk all things Sunderland. Sunderland fans, 0208 70 20 558. That's 0208 70 20 558. Give us a call, drop us a message on WhatsApp, or you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. Massive game for Sunderland this weekend, Niall. It is Ipswich Town at the Stadium of Light at 3 o'clock. Ipswich off a little bit of a wobble, two losses on the bounce. Are you feeling pretty confident?
I'm never feeling confident when it comes to Sunderland, Miles. it's a tough one. I think for us, we've got to look at Saturday as a blip. We've got to look at it as a blip, because, you know, it was 9 games undefeated before that. A fantastic run after a horrible run. And we can't hit that bad form again. It's as simple as that. We've got to look at the fact that Ipswich have just been well hammered, basically, at home to Peterborough. And Peterborough, who are another team who look like they're really starting to click, and they've got, you know, fantastic players. They've just lost a key player in Marcus Madison, which might be huge for them, but obviously that didn't seem to matter at the weekend. Maybe another Aidan McGeady kind of factor coming in there, you never know. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a tight game. I think Ipswich will come to the stadium, right, and I think they'll be quite careful in the first sort of 20 minutes. I think we'll try and attack them in front of our home crowd like we've been doing the last few weeks. And I think they'll be careful. I think they'll probably do a little bit like what Doncaster did against us last Friday, where they kept the hold of the ball and they pressed us. And we've been pressing teams, you know, for the, like you say, that 9-game run, we were pressing teams, but Doncaster decided that they were going to press us and we weren't expecting it. Second half, we were kind of turned it round and we kind of managed it a bit and got a hold of the ball a bit more and pressed them. Whereas I think Ipswich are, no disrespect to Doncaster, but I think they've got a little bit more quality. So I think if they do what Doncaster did, it's going to be a tough game and it'll be tight. And I think it'll come down to who's got the most, you know, who's got the the most class and who's got the most ability in the end, because I think Ipswich and Sunderland on paper in League One are probably the two best teams. So it's just going to come down to who's on form, who has the better game. It's going to be as simple as that. I really can't call it. But then again, a few weeks ago, I saw the same when we were playing Wickham, who were at the time top of the league at the same rate, and were 3-0 up after 25 minutes. So it's one of them. If we can attack them, which we will do in the first 20, and if we can get a goal, it's going to be hard for Ipswich to come back from that. But if we don't score, Ipswich will get comfortable. They'll do their game. Like I say, they're an organised team, and they'll hit us, and they've got pace. They're good at the counter as well if they need it. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tight. It's huge. It's massive. It's defining because of the fact that we've just lost on Saturday. Two losses in a row right now is going to be huge. So, and against two teams which are our rivals in promotion. So it's going to be huge, but we've just got to be calm, got to be collective. We've got to make our own play and hopefully score some goals from it. And the big players, Chris Maguire's, Charlie Wykes, Lyndon Kutcher's, they all need to turn up. Because when they do turn up, there's not a team in this league I think that can beat us. But they don't turn up every week, which is the biggest problem. If they do turn up at the weekend, then I think we will win the game. But it's going to be tight, and it's certainly what I'm looking forward to, but also dreading in the same sentence.
Do you think Phil Parkinson needs to make any changes to the side that played Portsmouth to get the win?
Possibly. In the one change, and pains us to say this, but I don't think it's because he's a bad player, because I know he's not a bad player. But I think George Dobson, maybe he's been in the squad for a good few weeks. He's played consecutively the last 10 or something like that. He got to a stage in that Christmas period where he was excellent, but I think he needs a rest. He made a couple of mistakes at the weekend against Portsmouth, and a couple of clumsy ones, just ones that I think if he was, a few weeks ago, he wouldn't have made. I think he just needs a bit of a rest, and I would probably bring Scowen, Josh Scowen, who we've just signed off Queen's Park Rangers. I'd probably bring him into the fold because he's got a bit of bite as well, and I think we'll need against Ipswich. He's a little bit kind of League Catamore-esque, he's a little bit of a, I'm not going to swear, but an S-house is what people call him. So,
I know what you mean. He likes the dark arts of football.
He does, and he's got a couple of screamers in the locker as well. He can hit them. You can hit them from range. So, I think he's the type of player. I think he probably needs to come in this weekend. And I think he will probably come in. Nothing against Dobson. Like I say, I rate Dobson as a player. He over the Christmas period, he was excellent for us. He was, one of the catalysts to how we played. And he was one of the reasons why we picked up so many points. But he just looks like he's a little bit burnt out. Looks like he needs a bit of a rest. And, I'd be bringing Scowen in.
Win this weekend will take Sunderland above Ipswich. They'll take Sunderland into that top six. Is it the playoffs that you think Sunderland will go up through this season, or are you looking at those automatic promotions places? Wickham, after having such a good start to the season, have fallen right back into it. Crazy that they're second in League One and their goal difference is two.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. But I do, because Wickham, I don't know if you've heard the conversations I've had with Matt Beale about Wickham Wanderers, and I'm not their biggest fan. I'll be open and honest. I don't think they're not a very good football team. They don't play football the right way, and I'm not the only fan of a club in League One to say that. They, Gareth Ainsworth's got them playing a strange game of football, which worked for them in the first half of the season. I think now that people are starting to, realise what they're doing. And it's all fair enough, being big and being hard and fouling people and hurting people and rolling on the floor, pretend you're injured and time wasted. Fair enough, but that's not going to win your football game all the time. Like you say, they got lucky with it the first half of the season. They're not a good football team, and they don't really play a nice football. I know Phil Catchpole,
I know Phil very well.
Well, Phil will argue with me about this all day long. We've had plenty of arguments about it. He seems to think that they do play good football, but the times I've seen them play 8 or 9 times live since we went in League One, and they're just not a football team. And you know, yeah, they might sneak, they might get promoted. I mean, it wouldn't surprise us, but I don't think so. And if they did, they'd be doing it the wrong way. So, yeah, all the Wigan fans are going to be tweeting me after this, hating on me. But it's just true. And everybody, every club in the league knows that. So I don't really see them as competition. Oxford as well. I think Oxford are a good team. That, you know, they're not bad. They play some good football, but they've just lost two of their best players. So, it, you know, they've gone to Brentford. So, again, they're going to be kind of... It's going to hurt them. Like I said before, Peter Avalos or Marcus Madison, but that seemed to not hurt them in the end, and they seem to be coming in form. So it's anybody's league. It really is anybody's league. It's tight. And like I said, last season you had your Luton and your Barnsley who kind of were just better than everybody else and took the league on themselves and just got away. And they got away and that was it. This season you don't have a Luton or a Barnsley.
All right.
Don't have that. So
Niall, thank you so much for joining us for the Sunderland Fan Show tonight. Niall Bromley there from the Roker Report. That's it for the Sunderland Fan Show. And that's it for me on Love Sport. I've had a lot of fun filling in for Matt Beadle today. Up next, it's the best of Love Sport. Loads of great sport today. Tottenham 2, Man City 0, Burnley 0, Arsenal 0, France beating England in the Six Nations, and Djokovic winning the Australian Open. I'll be back on Wednesday for the Charlton Fan Show. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.